Appreciate that this evening here, and we're coming to the book of, guess what?
Psalms.
Psalms. Anybody know which one we're going to be doing tonight? 47. That means that if we did a psalm a week, that'd be 47 weeks.
That's true.
But I don't do anything less than two or three. So it's been over a year. I have to go back and look somewhere. I must have a time that I started this whole series on the book of Psalms, but I don't think any of us really realized how much was in there. We know it's a lot of good stuff. David's quite the complainer, as I've heard one preacher put it, and through his complaints, we get the blessings of not complaining, and just accepting all the good stuff that God brings in our lives, amen, along the way, but... Well, in the way of blessings, we finally get rid of our camper, and so we have more parking in our driveway now. So, anyway, that was a blessing to get that thing taken care of and moving on, because we don't look like we're going to be doing too much camping in the next couple of years anyhow at this particular point. Maybe when that day comes and God calls us to retirement, we'll have all the time in the world to go camping. But so far, all the time we've had our camper someplace here, it was really only parking it there so we could go over to sleep over the night and cut the grass the next day and then go home that night. So I figured, what in the world is the point of all that? But nonetheless, hey, listen, how many of you listen to KMVBC? Anybody listen to KMVBC? Well, you know, eventually if you listen to it long enough, you're going to hear some good names mentioned on there. I mean, people like Dr. Les Roloff, you'll hear him preaching on there. Curtis Hudson, Les Roloff, did I say him? I did say him, okay, so that's how forgetful I am. But, you know, there are great preachers on there, and then every once in a while you hear from the Essex Junction, so I'm sitting like, what? Who? Hey, who said Essex Junction there? And the last time I heard was Carrie, and did you send them a message, you and Martha and Doug?
Yes.
Okay.
He said that he wanted to come to Vermont, so I said, looking forward to your visit to the Green Mountain State.
There you go. There you go. I think he was looking for an invitation, probably. Oh, well, he's a character and a half, no doubt about it. I mean, it's good listening all day long because it's broken up with some devotionals, pretty strong devotionals in the afternoon by Cooper. And so on, and he's a fireball preacher. I mean, I do not preach fast, do I, compared to Cooper? That guy, I mean, he just don't. I don't think he takes a breath when he starts, and he exhales when he's done. That's how that guy is along the way. So anyway, what's that? Yeah. Well, maybe there's something good about getting old. I actually have to take a breath halfway through. But we're looking at Psalm 47, not a very long psalm. But kind of titling it Keeping Your Progress, or maybe I should have really titled it Not Losing Ground. Not Losing Ground. So by way of introduction here, as the world watches what's going on in Ukraine, we witnessed Russia's making gains, and they really expected that the Russian army would just march through there and it'd all be over in about 3 days, at the latest maybe a week. And here we are, how many months into this battle? 3 months now, going into 3 months. And Russia's lost ground. They had gained certain territory, and now it comes that they have lost some of it. They backed off, and some have said it's to regroup. That may be. But nonetheless, we continue to hold up Ukraine for our brothers and our sisters' sake. It's not a nation under God. And the leader... Zelensky is really not much different than Putin is when it comes to dictatorship, when it comes right down to it. But nonetheless, we have brothers and sisters in the Lord that are still there. Some have gone on the outside. They've gotten out of Ukraine and so on. So we need to hold up our brothers and sisters in the Lord for sure. But anyway, the point was, and we're seeing that Russia gained, and on the other hand, Ukraine has been able to regain some of what they have lost in regards to territory, and they don't want to lose it. I mean, any more than Russia wanted to lose what they had gained, and now Ukraine doesn't want to lose what they've gained back, and there's always going to be that push and their shove. So what, if anything, does this have to do with Psalm 47 tonight? Well, since you asked, I'm going to tell you. From a Christian perspective, we know that we are in a spiritual battle against sin, Satan, and our flesh. And spiritual growth is about gaining ground in our spiritual battle. Amen? I mean, you don't want to have to be really fighting the same old battles day after day after day after day. And some of us, we are. We're still fighting some of those same old battles. Well, at some particular point, we've got to realize we need to get the victory over those things. And we need to move on. But if we're still fighting them, then we're not gaining. When we're no longer fighting those same old battles, I'm not saying there's not going to be new battles. I'm not going to say there's going to be different battles, because there certainly will be. But nonetheless, in our spiritual battles, the purpose for the battle is to gain some ground in our spiritual growth. Amen? So how can we protect those spiritual gains that we have been making in our battles, so that the things that we had been fighting maybe 5 years ago, we're not fighting them 5 years later? Or maybe even this week from last week, we're not fighting that same battle over again. And so would you believe that praise is one of those avenues that we can use to give honor, where honor is due to the Lord who gives us these victories? And there's going to be a total of 5 points. We're not going to do all five tonight. I think we'll get through two of them, the Lord willing. So tonight, the first one we're looking at, for in praise, there is a link between our joy and His deliverance. There is a link between our joy and His deliverance. Psalm 47 and verse 1. The Bible says, "Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph." Now, you can really shake the family up if God answers a prayer and you start hooping, you start hollering, jumping up and down. The kids will think you've gone crazy. If you do it out on the deck, out there on the deck, so you get out there, you take it from the house to the outside, your neighbors will think you're crazy. But God won't. And anybody who knows the Lord, they won't think you're crazy either. But clap your maybe we see how the psalmist there. There needs to be some expression of joy. Because the average Christian who has really fought a lot of battles, won a lot, and lost probably a few along the way as well, we really look like we're a bunch of sourpusses most of the time. My wife says, I smile real hard in here. But the world needs to know that the Christian life is a life of joy. How do I want to say that? It is not an egregious life. It is not a dull life. If you live in the Christian life the way it's supposed to be lived, it's not a dull life. Because God's going to see to it, and the devil's going to see to it, that there's always something going on. There's always going to be a battle for more. You go around that corner, there's going to be another battle. You get rid of the one on this side of the corner, you go around the corner, and the devil's waiting for you on the other side over there. So we need to learn to express the joy of the victory of the battle rather than spending all of our time complaining. I think what we do is many times that we complain through the battle. We get to the other side of the battle and we're exhausted. We're not emotionally upbeat. I know trials can be hard and I know trials can be difficult. But when you know that you're walking with the Lord, that's where our source of joy is. Our joy is not in life that we live. It is not in the things that we endure in this lifetime. Our joy is always in the Lord. The fact that He has redeemed us, the fact that He loves us, the fact that He is always with us, and we move on. And so praise is our response, linking our joy to His deliverance. And that is His answers to our prayer. How do you respond when God answers a prayer? Oh, okay. Do you even know when He answers your prayer? That's another question. And when your prayers are wrapped up in ambiguity, you're not going to recognize when God does. And a lot of times when you have family time and you're praying with your family together and everything is so general, then how are you going to know when God answers your prayer? And so one of the things that we need to learn is that we tend to forget in a short time what great things the Lord has done for us, don't we? So we just get through one battle, we say, "Thank you, Lord." We go around the corner, there's a second battle over there, and we go, "Oh, I can't believe this. Another one around the corner." Well, what'd you expect? The devil, he's going to keep after you. He's not going to give up. The Christian life is really a life of spiritual battles. That when we win them because God gave us the deliverance, He gave us the victory, and we need to thank the Lord. And He never puts us through a particular battle, but that is not going to prepare us for the next one. So you're going to be ready to go. So, for instance, we win one victory, and it seems as though in no time at all, a new battle ensues. And we begin to moan, we begin to groan. And we say such things as, "Not now, Lord. Please, not now. Or, Lord, why? Why in the world after I just went through and, you know, all these kind of things here?" And so we have all these why. You're asking God to give you an answer that you don't deserve, because God's not under any obligation to answer anyway. So when you start to ask why, drop it. Drop it immediately, because God doesn't have to answer you. And if you'll be patient and you'll trust in the Lord and you'll walk with the Lord through the battles and through the problems, it's amazing the joy you find in them that you wouldn't find at any other time. What greater time to experience the presence of the Lord than when you're in the battle? And he gives you a peace of heart that passes understanding. So what better time to hold on to your newly gained ground? Because you just left one battle, you got a victory, and wherever that space is, a day, a week, an hour, a couple of minutes, whatever it might be there, in that time there, you gain some ground. You learn something in the last, hopefully you learn something in the last battle, because if you didn't, then the next battle is probably going to help you to learn what you should have learned the first time, you know, or the couple of battles before. So we keep going through a lot of these particular battles, which have the same resonance, if you will, because we didn't learn what we should have learned in the last one, because we spent all our time griping, complaining, and moaning to God about the battles, about the problems, and making our excuses for whatever else it is there. And so we don't really gain any ground, and God wants us to gain ground. I mean, it's kind of stupid to go into a battle without the expectation of being able to gain some ground. Now, I know that it hasn't been the case in Afghanistan. America went into battle over there, but they didn't go over there to win. And they certainly shouldn't have been there in the first place. As far as I'm concerned, just put a big cement wall up around those places over there. Let them kill each other. And by that time, there won't be anybody left, so don't worry about it. But what better time to hold on to our newly gained ground than to drive down a stake for the devil to see and said, "This is where I got the victory." Listen, you take over a fort, what they do? They would raise the American flag. We know over in Iwo Jima, always those soldiers that made it to was it Manitoba or the island up on the mountaintop there, and they raised the American flag. Everybody could see that and said, "America is now in control." Clark?
Suribachi.
So there you go. You got the flag up there. The Americans see it. The Japanese can see it. And now they realize that, hey, America has made some ground. And you know, the devil needs to be put on notice. Listen, I just gained some ground. This is what I learned. This is how I grew. Satan, you better be aware. I'm a little better prepared for the next battle. Amen? And so the idea is to whom we are attributing our victory is to God. This is what God did for me. Satan, you were no help. You were no blessing at all. But this is what God did. This is how God got me through the battle here. And I want God to get the glory. And God needs to get the glory. But when we're complaining and we're moaning and we're groaning, does God get the glory? No, because you're doing exactly what the devil wants you to do. Satan would have us to believe that it was luck or some coincidence that this is how that turned out. I'm going to tell you, in just a moment I'll tell you. I'm getting ahead of myself. So our prayer should be one of praise. The steps that we take biblically and our praise should be on point. God, thank you for the victory. God, thank you for the deliverance. Don't say, "Well, Lord, I had a little hand in this, but thank you." No, you didn't have any hand in it at all. If you prayed for the victory, God gave you the victory. So believers do not have good luck. Did you know that?
Correct.
So stop telling the other Christians, "Well, good luck." No. You know what? Christians don't even have bad luck. They don't have either good luck or bad luck. Fortunate or unfortunate events. We don't have fortunate or unfortunate events in our lives. They're all God designed with a purpose for God's plan for our lives. Now, I'm not saying we can't create some of these battles ourselves, but the truth of the matter is, when God brings battles into our lives, it's because he has a reason and purpose for it to develop something along the way. So what we have is God working in our lives for us to learn from and to experience his direction in our lives. And what better way are you going to learn of God's directions than when we go through different battles and God's leading us each and every step? Because the Bible says the steps of a good man are what? Ordered by the Lord. And so he expects us to have good steps, a good a good stride when we're going through our difficult problems, and not this up and down, in and out, grouchy one day, happy the next day, you know, miserable, whatever else it is. But folks, when we understand this, when you and I find relief, if you will, that interlude between battles, after battle or two, then our flesh will do one of two things against us. Number one, if we believe that we have somehow caused a specific outcome, we'll take credit for it to ourselves. And the best expression I've been able to use for that is when any of us were in school and you prayed about a test, but you never studied. Why would God give you a good grade if you're not going to? And so, nonetheless, you don't really study, or maybe you half-heartedly study, and you get a good grade, even though you prayed about that. And you say, "Oh, I got an A, and I got a B, and I got a C, and I or whatever it was that I got." And well, you know, you prayed about it, didn't you? Then give God the glory. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me this mark. Lord, I know I didn't deserve it, but nonetheless. But you know, we can carry that over into other areas of our lives equally as well, where we tend to kind of slip in a little bit of credit for ourselves and not giving it to the Lord. It is the substance from which pride is made when we kind of interject a little bit of self in these victories in our battles. So pride is one's natural, as wrong as it is. We assume that we handle our problem or our problems successfully, and then we begin to boast about ourselves. But when you're telling somebody, "This is how I got through this," then you say, "The Lord did it." Give him the glory. Give him the credit. And like I say, when you find yourself in adversity, repair yourself to the Lord. "Lord, I'm going for a ride. This is going to be a great ride with you and me going through this battle," and so on. So the world has no problem, as do anemic or carnal Christians, to blame God for all that goes wrong. But when things go well, luck gets the nod, not God. Think about that. Oftentimes, you were lucky. No, you weren't lucky. That's why don't bother to play the lottery. Luck doesn't have it. If God wants you to have $1 million, he's going to give you $1 million. And he doesn't want you wasting time thinking, or you can put that dollar into the missions basket somewhere. I don't know what they pay for those things anymore. I don't think they even advertise the price on television. Nonetheless, so praise, as we see in verse 1, is number one, it's a deterrent to assuming that we are the one who brought forth our success. Whether it's a success in life, listen, if you had a successful college years, thank God for it. You say, "But I wasn't saved when I was in college." God still was working in your life, because now you're saved and you can go back on those years and you can learn some things from that. Plus, God can help you to use what you learned in those times. And same thing within school, or even your job for that matter. Praise reminds us, secondly, praise reminds us and others that as the redeemed of the Lord, our victories and relief following our battles, it's all the Lord's doing. All his doing. Psalm 147 verse 1 says, "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant." And praise is what? Comely. So folks, if you don't like what you see in the mirror when you wake up in the morning, go back and have your devotions, because praise is comely, all right? God looks, and it's a good thing that God looks in the heart. So either you have a comely heart or you don't. But just know this, that praise is comely. It's pleasing to God. It's refreshing to God. It's a blessing to God when the child of God comes before his throne of grace and gives him praise. So what do you think of when you hear the word comely? What do you think of the word comely? Well, the word means beautiful. It means seemly. And now we know that a grouchy heart doesn't look comely at all. Amen. Grouchy hearts make for not so comely faces. But when the heart is full of joy, everybody loves a good smile. Everybody comes on and says, "What are you so happy about? What are you whistling about? How have you got a spring in your step?" Well, you tell them, because the Lord is good. And I praise the Lord, because this is what I had to deal with, and God took care of it all, and I'm so happy. I went through it with the Lord. I'm giving God the glory. I'm giving God the victory there. And it'll make people begin to wonder, begin to think. So the next time you smile, say, well, I know why you're smiling. God's working in your life. And people will pick up on it and they'll learn very quickly. So even if you don't like your job, you can still go to work and smile. And people wonder, you hate your job. Why are you smiling? Because God is with me. And I am going to do what God wants me to do. I am going to enjoy this day. And God's going to lead me and God's going to direct me accordingly. So don't go to work being a miserable grouch. I got this splitting headache. Smile anyway. Or you get one of those sticks with, like they do on TV when they have the depression on there. Put a smiley face on there. Or when you put your lipstick on, ladies, just go. No, that might help. I don't know. But in praise, we find, our second one, we close here tonight. In praise, we find an admission. And that's important. Verse 2 of our text. For the Lord Most High is terrible. Now, in the Hebrew, there is qual, nephal, and a few other verb tenses there. This is in the nephal, which just means it's more pronounced. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is great. He's a great king over all the earth. So there isn't any place where God is not. And there isn't any place where God's power isn't. Amen?
Amen.
God is here, God is there, God is everywhere. And so praise not only gives God the glory for being the source of our blessings, it also acknowledges that God alone is worthy of our praise. Don't take any for yourself. Don't peel a little bit off the top. This is not one of those things where you have a finder's fee when it comes down to it. I'll raise X number of dollars, I get a 10% fee off of this. No, God gives us the victory, then give God all the glory. God will lift you up. And God will praise you, but I'd rather have my praise come from God than I would from man. So don't take anything away from God. Leave God, get all the praise, because he's the one who deserves it. So when we face problems, our heart reveals more often than not how we feel about God. Such as small problems leave us feeling it is not big enough to bother God. Have you ever come to that place where I can handle it, I can do this myself? Well, you know, some people are going to be finding out here, if we end up going into a full-blown recession, as they're predicting that we're going to be going into, that all of a sudden the dollar's not going as far as it used to go. And if you've got a family you've got to feed, it's going to be a lot of popcorn, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, probably along the way. Not a lot of those other things, because everything is just going up exponentially. Food is very, very costly. And so, significant problems frustrate us, and we don't even make excuses because it wasn't the first response on our mind to seek God. Are you seeking God about your budget? Lord, you know how much money we have to spend. Well, you can do one of two things. They say, well, Lord, I'd like to be able to give the tithe to you this week, but I can't because we have to put groceries on the table. Well, how about you put the tithe in first and say, God, I'm going to trust you to feed us. So, and it's just not only that, but it's in other areas as well. We tend to rob God of praise. We tend to rob God of our time. We tend to rob God of our talents. And we tend to rob God of our tithe when push comes to shove. It's always, you know, it's easy to tithe when you have the abundance. But all of a sudden it doesn't come down to where you have the abundance. And all of a sudden it's not easy. And when you cramp for time, it's not always easy to give your talent or to serve the Lord because your time constraints, so you begin to take the time that belongs to God and use it for yourself. And so we consume a lot of things on our own selves that really belongs to God. And so we have to be careful that when we get frustrated, we tend to make excuses and we just forge ahead just like we did in the first point. We forge ahead to try to solve our own solutions. And we just go ahead and we figure, I'm just going to deal with it. But thirdly, only as they get really serious, the problems really, really get serious, back is between the rock and the hard place, or between the devil and the deep blue sea, then all of a sudden, then we begin to start praying. And often only when we've made matters worse ourselves. And that's usually what happens. Lord, I made a mess out of this. Lord, now I need you to help me, get me out. Well, why didn't you pray in the beginning? Well, I thought I could handle it. Well, that's not why God allowed the problem to come into your life. Little problem, middle problem, medium problem, rather, and a big problem, they all deserve to come before the throne of God. Because little problems can get to become what? Big problems, and big problems get to be bigger problems, and bigger problems get to be worse problems. So why not just start with the beginning? Lord, things are getting tight. Things are getting financially tight. Lord, I'm going to trust you to get us through this. Now, he may not have a Omaha, Nebraska steak box on your front doorstep in the morning, but he could do that, certainly. There may be a hot dog. I don't know, whatever else, but I love hot dogs, so they're not so bad. But usually it's one of those quick prayers of desperation that we're impatient as a result of, because God is not acting as quick enough as we want Him. Now, you've been laboring this thing maybe for a week or a month or so on, and you knew all along you should have gotten with God at the beginning, but you didn't do it, and you kept putting it off, because you're ashamed that you didn't do it in the beginning, and so now all of a sudden God's not moving quick enough. Well, you wouldn't be to that point more than likely if you started in the beginning to get with the Lord, amen? And so praise is designed by God to humble us and to exalt Him at the same time. Verse 2, once again, it says, "For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great King over all the earth." Terrible means awesome. Literally has the idea of awe-inspiring. Our God is an awesome God. Amen. And that word terrible, we think of it negative, but it's very positive here. Very positive. And so, number one under praise is designed by God to humble us and exalt Him. We are flesh and blood. And sometimes our problems, God wants us to know and to be reminded that, hey, you are flesh and blood. And so we are prone to make mistakes. Yet the Lord our God is perfect and His power has no limits. So that we know that no matter what problem we're in, God is bigger than the problem. And we must never forget that God is bigger than that. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that God's going to give us what we want, the way we want, when we want it? No. It just means that there is no problem that God can't deal with. And when He deals with it, He'll deal with it according to His own timing. But number two, that we are often ignorant of the future, obviously. I mean, I can tell you what we're planning to do tomorrow. But God may have other plans. I'm sure when Jesse was heading home tonight, he had planned to get home and have supper. Well, that didn't turn out exactly the way he wanted it. I'm sure he eventually is going to get home and get some supper, maybe on the way home or not. But you know, so we don't know what the future holds. We have no idea. But God does, because He's already there. He's already in the next minute, the next hour, the next day, the next week, the next month, the next year. He's already in our future. He was in our future before we even had a future. How about that? So number three, that we are powerless. We can't prolong our lives beyond a fixed point as it concerns death. Well, God is both the giver and the sustainer of life. He can extend us beyond what might have been His predetermined time, if He so desires. But know tonight that praise is God's appointed way of admitting that He is terrible. Again, meaning that He is amazing. He is awesome. Absolutely astonishing. Inspiring, and inspiring reverence toward Him. So purpose now. Purpose that each day you're going to praise the Lord for this day. If it's Monday, praise Him for Monday. Because in 4 days from that, it's going to be Friday. It'll be payday. Amen. You can't have a Friday without a Monday. So you got to get through the week. Why not? I mean, you can go through murmuring and complaining if you want to. Or you can just go through the week praising God. It makes your week better. Amen? Be like that one preacher who was always praising God. Always praising God. And one day someone came up to him and asked him, he said, "Why are you praising God so much?" He said, "Because I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and my home is in heaven and I'm praising God." He says, "What happens if you die and you go to hell?" He says, "When I get down to hell, my left foot's going to hit the floor. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God." He says, "I'm going to do that every day, all day, until finally the devil says, 'I've had enough, get out of here.'" So, make your day a day of praising God. Amen? What's it going to hurt? I'll tell you, after a while, it's going to become a habit. And you'll be able to find yourself unable to keep from smiling by praising God. It makes people wonder what you're up to. Amen? And you say, "I'm up to praising God." Why? What's He done? He's done everything. Everything. Amen? So we'll look at a few more. The Lord willing, will I be here next week? Yes, I will. Yes, I will. I will be here.